is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. Check them out. They're very funny guys.
Kraft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck. Okay.
Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Art from Masters of None, and with me is Mike.
Hi.
And Jay.
Hello.
And long time no talk, boys. How you all doing?
Good.
All right.
This is episode 4 of season 9? No, 13? What are we doing?
Yeah, 13.
13.
We're only off by 2 years.
Jesus.
I'm going to the time traveling machine. But we're going to be doing Poser's Guide to the Working World, and we're going to be kind of adding some weird phrases or weird things that our bosses have said to us. But yeah, this is the main thing is going to be the Poser's Guide to the Working World. But you've heard the first three episodes already in this season. We kind of did a live show, a couple live shows. So that was the child that came from that, those shows. But now we're coming back for the fall. How's everybody doing? How's the rest of everybody's summer?
Great. I have some big news.
All right. What's up, dude?
I'm the new general manager of our beer store, guys. That's pretty cool, right?
That's great.
Yes.
I'm expecting a child.
Nice.
Hey, oh, sorry I interrupted.
Yes.
That was rude.
Yeah, that's right.
You rude? No.
Me and my wife are having a kid in January.
Yay.
And we officially found out not too long ago that it's going to be a girl.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the club.
Yep. So all three of us will have girls. Thus, the cycle is complete. And now we're all fucking going to be punished for all the shit that we did.
We better hurry up and erase the strip club episode and the tits versus ass episode.
Yeah, great. No, I'm going to keep those. In fact, those are going to be under our pillow as a strict reminder of what not to do. Don't grow up to be one of these ladies. So, yeah, we're having
congrats,
a girl.
Congrats, dude.
Thanks, man. Cool. Thanks. I'm excited. I'm nervous as shit, and I'm excited at the same time. It's going to be fun, though. Now they can all come together and have their own podcast and talk about their, it could be called Daddy Issues.
Masters of Issues.
The Mistresses of None.
Yeah.
Mistresses of None.
Be great. It'll be great.
Yeah, I love it. Nice. In the year 2000.
Mm-hmm. Come out
with a podcast. Very cool. Also, too, let's pump up you guys' time on Sirius with Eric Nagel on Sirius XM. Man, that was pretty cool. I wasn't able to attend that, but I saw you guys. I listened to it. We'll definitely have links up at Masters of None for you people to check it out as well.
Well, how we released that, it as a podcast.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Also, too, we'll have links in this episode too, on this page for people to check it out. But how was that, guys?
That was a
lot of fun.
Yeah,
Mike was back in his old stomping grounds, right? Like back in high school.
Yeah, I saw where I carved my initials in the wall.
Where he made out with that chick in the locker room.
No, that was Eric.
Nice. And it's kind of like old radio days because you guys went home with some free swag, right?
Yeah, we did.
Oh yeah. Got some nice NECA toys, Simpsons. I got a Penn and Teller Simpsons characters.
Nice.
Yeah. Very cool.
Pretty sweet.
Thanks to Eric for having us on, too. That was a lot of fun. And Matt from Geek Stuff, too. First time I actually got a chance to meet him. I've only known him online, basically.
Wait, didn't we see him at the Comic-Con?
Did we see him?
Yeah.
We might have met him briefly.
We did? Okay. I don't remember. Sorry.
So yeah, so that was cool. So people check that out if you haven't listened to it yet, even though we released it as well as Jay said. But what else has been going on? I think no one can really top Mike's news, but Jay, things going well with you, dude?
Yeah, it's hectic. I'm officially running the beer store now.
Nice.
It's crazy. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Kind of took the ice bucket challenge to another level with the beer bucket challenge, man. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, thanks. You know, it's hard work standing there and having beer and ice poured on you, but, you know. Did my best.
All right, so I guess maybe this isn't the first time we're actually going to be helpful to people, because we're going to help you out, try and find a job.
Perhaps.
Probably not.
Perhaps.
But, probably not, no. Probably do the opposite of everything we're doing, like the Costanza. Do the Costanza of this podcast, and you maybe you'll land a job that you know, your dream job. But
I get that
again,
reference.
This is a poser's guide to the working world, and not only is Mike going to be becoming a dad, but he's also prepping up. He said, you know, before we started recording, Mike was like, you know what? I'm going to do a lot of prep work. Even though this was my brainchild, you started up with this great outline, man. So thanks for that.
No problem. That's my goal. My New Year's resolution for this year.
Did you use Microsoft Outline?
The only thing I would judge you on, there's no Roman numerals in the letter A.
Yeah, it's
B,
not a
C.
It's not the proper form. Yeah.
And you didn't have a works cited page. But other than that,
no footnotes.
Yeah. Good job on that. Well, let's first talk about one of the things you have first on your list. And we're also going to sprinkle in some weird bossisms that we've heard from our bosses back in the day or now currently. Let's first talk about like putting your resume together. Give some tips on how to put a resume together.
Put a bullet in a gun. Hold it up to your head. Squeeze the trigger. I can't think of anything I like doing less than preparing a resume aside from flossing.
Oh.
This is the worst.
Looking for a job is a full-time job. I mean, it's such a fucking cliche thing to say, but it's totally true. And putting a resume together is terrible. I actually went the route of being like, fuck it, let somebody else do it, and paid like $200 to some professional to just be like, here you go, here's what I've done, make it look snappy, and post-haste, let's get this sucker going.
Vulcanize my tires post-haste.
Yes, please.
Did you, you know, this is true for when you first start out, so when it's like, you know, just do a page.
Right.
What's the etiquette now, man? Is it like 2 pages, 3 pages? Is it, you know, War and Peace? Like, how big is your resume now?
I think a page is still the preferred way, right?
Yeah, anything more than two is not even going to get looked at.
Yeah, right. I think it's like cover letter and page. And by the way, even more worthless than the fucking resume is the cover letter.
Horrible.
Which is the worst. I hate I'll write a resume every day for the rest of my life if I never have to write a cover letter ever again.
You know, originally the eighth layer of hell in Dante's Inferno was writing a cover letter.
Oh. It's the worst.
The one thing that's good is that if you're doing it via email now, it's easier because it's just like part of the email.
Yeah.
So you can kind of get away with not really having an awesome cover letter, but nobody fucking looks at a cover letter anyway.
No.
You write a paragraph like in your email, because I've been interviewing tons of people, dude, and it's frightening the shit I get. Here's a fun game you could play. Just post up a simple classified ad on Craigslist.
Yeah.
Just for any sort of job.
Right.
And just put like one thing that you were asking for, you know, send a resume and whatever, minimum salary requirements. You'll get a billion of them with no resumes, no salary requirements. You'll get half a billion with one or the other, and you'll get maybe two that have both. And then there's your candidate pool right there. You just throw in anything. You just like, you know, send a resume and tell me your favorite color. And you'll just get a resume with no name attached to it. You'll just get like, hi, I'm looking for a job, and blah, 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 blah. And no one will be like, resume, red. Nobody. And it's frightening, because if you can't follow the simplest instruction in trying to get the job, how are you going to function at the actual fucking job?
Right.
Follow the directions to get the job.
One of my friends, he works for Enterprise, and like he works for like the recruitment division, and on Facebook he'll post certain things that he hears from like candidates, and it's like people are doing this. Like one guy, he said like he came in like in a acid wash denim like suit, like a jacket,
like
jeans.
A Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, I was like, are you serious? Like, and he's like, I wanted to take a picture of it, but that would be like, I probably get like sued or whatever. It's like, all right, but like, it's ridiculous. And Jay, you kind of, you know, since you're looking for people, what's like the weirdest like outfit that someone came into for like an interview?
Oh, I get all kinds of people. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we just threw up the old help wanted sign on the door, and oh my god. Just people come in, just like crip wear, and like just like what?
Wait, here's it
for applications.
Here's a tip: if you are applying to a job that has a help wanted sign in the window, go into the store, take the help wanted sign out of the window, and hand it to them, and say you won't be needing this anymore. That guarantees you to get the fucking job. talking about putting a resume together, you always have to embellish, you know, like you get really depressed writing a resume because you always think about the stuff that you've done, especially like early on in your career when you're doing shit jobs. I don't really want to put this, but I have to. So you kind of have to like embellish what you do. So like a couple of examples that I wrote down.
Just pull out the thesaurus, right?
Yeah, exactly. So here's a couple of examples that I wrote down of things that you could say instead of what you actually are. So instead of saying you were a cashier at McDonald's, you could say you were an assistant manager of financial transactions at a Fortune 500 company. Instead of saying that you were folding sweatshirts at Abercrombie, you could say you're aesthetic coordinator for fashion industry conglomerate. And instead of saying stock boy, you could say you're a textile distribution and inventory czar. And then
the czar of the telestrator. Anytime you use the word czar, you're taking command. I love it.
Exactly. And the same goes with your education. You know, sometimes some of us may not have had the higher learning or whatever. So if you have an associate's degree at community college, you could still say, I have a doctorate from an accredited institution, and then in parentheses put in progress. So that's what you got to do. Like, just, you know, embellish a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see like maybe one out of every 10 resumes I even see has put on it.
Now, double space or triple space? What are we doing here?
Oh, do some people like do triple space to try to bulk it up a little bit, make it look a little beefy?
What font? 14?
On it. Just have something of value on it.
Yeah.
Here's a tip. Don't put 5,000 jobs on it. How about your last 3 jobs? Anything more than that, I'm like, why can't this guy hold a fucking job?
Yeah. Or jobs that are relevant.
That's my fucking resume, by the way.
Well, you can say like, well, I'm more of a Renaissance man. If people ask you, like, you know what? I was finding myself in my earlier years.
Yeah.
It's like, hit the bricks, Da Vinci.
So let's just say you do get the job. And one of the things that I was introduced to from Mike was the first day face, and he said that I had when I was working with him when back in the day when we were all working the radio, that I had like I think maybe for 3 weeks I had first day face.
It's that wide eyed
explain that, man, because that's beautiful.
Picture any mugshot from some kid that shot up a movie theater where you see all the whites of his eyes. That's exactly what first day face is. It's just this wide eyed I don't want to make a mistake, what do I do.
I can't put butter on the milk duct, sir.
Yeah, you got to kind of get past that, I guess. You got to find your swagger, right? You got to find your niche. And okay, once you get comfortable with things, whether where things are and who everybody is and what their job is and for wherever you work, then you can kind of get out of first day phase. But
you got people, I think, in your job that, you know, when you start working there, they appreciate the first day phase. Because if you go in like you own it.
Yeah.
The first couple of days, people are like, who is this tool, right?
So
you got to walk that fine line of, like, first day face and, like, trying to be a boss, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, just play it cool and lay back so you get the lay of the land and see how people are. You know what I mean?
Right.
And don't say, like, hey, I can do this. Hey, you know what? I can do that, too. Don't be, like, that guy.
Right? Yeah. Kind of keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Chill, observe, ask questions.
Yep.
And lay low. Don't let your actual personality out until it's time.
Especially if you have a disgusting sense of humor. Yeah. May not want to open that can of worms right away.
Well, have you ever had that experience with you, Mike?
It's kind of like when you talk to somebody and they're like, oh, I'm crazy. I'm just crazy. Really? What's the craziest thing you've done? You know, well, this one time we stayed up way past midnight. Yeah, okay, great. You suck. You're not crazy. Well, they're telling dirty jokes or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not going to whip out the dead baby jokes right now because that's probably not a good idea. So I just kind of laugh politely. Oh, yeah, that's funny. It's nothing. You don't know anything.
And speaking of, like, you know, just what you're saying, like with coworkers and all that, you know, what are some of the types of coworkers that people should look out for, whether they can either cling on to in a good way or just stay away from? Like, what are some things that people should, you know, for those people who are listening, just got out of college, they have first day face pretty much 24/7 when they go for an interview. What are some things that people should look out for good coworkers and bad coworkers?
There's the complainer. The person that does nothing but complain about everything. The job, the commute, where they work, their coworkers, their boss, the pay, the everything. They just love to complain, and if they're not complaining about something, they find something to complain about. That person just annoys the shit out of me. I don't like working with those people.
Be aware of the person who doesn't know how email works. And so they have no idea, like, CCs are or BCCs, and they'll always, like, forward something to somebody that's not supposed to see something and just doesn't get it at all.
Yeah.
It's usually, like, an older lady. A lot of Dilbert cartoons in her cubicle.
Dilbert.
Still loves Kathy. Comic strip.
That's usually also the person that's been working there way too long.
Yeah.
So that's...
Still can't figure out the email.
Right.
She was there like before email was a thing.
Right.
You still can't figure it out like 15 years later.
Yeah, there's...
Can we go back to ticker tape?
Yeah.
Stop. Stop what? No, we're doing a telegram, right? No, it's an email.
News from the Pacific! The person that's working there way too long, that's usually the one and the same. That doesn't adhere to the new technology. Those groups of people that the company's trying to be a little bit more proactive or a little bit more, you know, aggressive in being, you know, up on the newest technological advancement or whatever. So they throw something at everybody, and then there's like those one or two people that are like, I don't get this. This is stupid. I'm not going to learn this. And then they just get left behind, or they keep asking you for shit.
You also have to watch out for the people that are in everybody else's business.
Oh, yeah. The gossipers.
And that's almost like you know, all of a sudden they see the newbie and it's like, oh, sweet, I want to be cool. Because if this person's cool, I can latch on to their coolness. And you got to watch out for them because they'll like be like, hey, you want to go to lunch together? All right, cool. And they'll be like, oh, they're going to lunch with that person? Eh.
Yeah.
Watch out for that, the new guy. So just kind of like whoever said, I think it was Jay or maybe it was Mike, like lay low and just, you know, just let things happen and just watch how the whole dynamics in that company works. And then you'll see, like, all right, I'm going to stay away from that person because they'll be blacklisted just like that person. So don't, if someone's like all touchy feely or all up in your business, like, hey, let's go out to lunch. Or like, hey, you want me to show you around? Maybe like let them show you around, but just kind of keep your distance from everybody until you know the lay of the land, right?
Yeah. The pecking order of the office. Okay. Who reports to who? Who kind of trumps the other person? You know, who's got enough clout there? That what they say gets usually goes rather than it may not even be the boss. It may be somebody that's just kind of like middle of the road that just has a lot of persuasion. You got to kind of have to know all that shit. I think the biggest piece of advice, and actually on our Facebook, a bunch of people commented about best piece of work related advice you would give to someone. And Stephanie Kostemski. That sounds close enough.
Yes.
She says it perfectly. Don't get sucked into work gossip. Can't stress this enough. Absolutely. 100%. Just stay out of it. Just be like, you know, if somebody starts blabbing your ear off about, you'll never believe who's sleeping with who and who's doing this. Oh, wow. That's crazy. Okay, great. And then just whatever you can do to get away and don't spread it around and don't be the one caught in the middle and don't give advice to anybody about personal shit. Just stay away. I've been lucky enough with like you guys and actually I could say the people that I work with now, I could consider people my friends. But other than that, most of the people I've ever worked with, I would never want to hang out with ever. The biggest thing you can do in getting a new job, getting any job.
Yeah, true. And I love Carlos, how he says, don't listen to Masters of None while you're working.
Yeah, that's probably get you fired.
Christian Johnson says, one boss told me on his last day, you're a smart ass, learn to keep your mouth shut. That's cool when you can get something from somebody leaving who's above you and they can tell you what they're really thinking before they leave. That's always good too. Like if you know someone too who's gonna like go out in a blaze of glory, okay, make sure you mention this to the boss and maybe it'll help the rest of us on your way out.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, like if you're going out, you know, if you happen to get the exit interview, Tell the people what's really up. Well, if you like your coworkers anyway. Yeah. Be like, and this thing, everyone fucking hates this. Fix it. This is one of the reasons I'm leaving.
And by the way, Jeff, take a bath. There's always the dirty one in the workforce too. There's always somebody in the office that just stinks. Either they fucking got gas or they don't use deodorant properly or they never change their shirt. Just
but
somebody
working, I'm sorry, guys.
Just somebody who's the dirty one. Oh, and the emotional wreck. The person who, like, you say, hey, Janice, how's it going? Well, it's terrible. I'm so stressed. Blah, 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 blah.
Never cry at work.
Oh, yeah, that's a good rule.
God almighty. Remove
There's
yourself.
No crying in baseball.
No.
There's no crying in work. Are you fucking kidding me? Go to the bathroom if you gotta cry.
Well said. Yeah. Shows weakness. Sweep the leg.
Totally. How could you respect anybody who cries at work? It's just work. Unless you're getting fired, then go ahead and cry, because then you're done. You don't have to see those people anymore. Don't cry at work. What the hell could possibly make you cry at work?
Unless you get a paper cut.
That's true. Those hurt like a motherfucker.
Yes. And if you're crying for the wrong reasons, just say, I got a paper cut. People will understand.
Especially if you're crying because you have too much work to do.
Oh, my God. Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Nobody is giving you sympathy, by the way.
I'm so busy.
Zero people at work will be giving you sympathy for how much work you have.
So, Mike, how's your day going? Oh, my God. I got 3 meetings and I got 3 reports. Yeah. Oh, God.
Nobody cares, bro.
No, but you don't understand, man.
If you're constantly reminding yourself that no matter where you work, honestly, no matter where it is, you're just a fucking number and you can be replaced. It's such a terrible thing to say, but you have to think that way, because if you really think that you have an ounce of job security, that's the moment that you get the fucking rug lifted out from underneath you.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. All right. So one of the things also, too, how this topic came up about the Poser's Guide to Working World is, I was saying something along the lines of, we should do a show where we got some weird one-liners, whether they be good, bad, ugly, from our bosses. And I'm going to kind of share one of mine. And if you guys have one, feel free to share it too.
Go ahead.
I was working in Boston for a recruiter firm. I was working for this one company. It was my second job out of college. The guy that was my boss just got his promotion. We were trying to like find jobs for scientific people and like, you know, whether they're a chemist or what have you. And he and I were just talking about certain things. And he brought me to lunch and we were talking about just like how we can, you know, rule the company or whatever, and how, you know, he was just trying to do all this rah-rah stuff. And so we're getting back to the company and we're going back after lunch, and he's like, you know, bro, he's like, we can smash this, we can, like, you know, set record numbers about getting people filled in the positions and the recs that we have. It was almost like boiler room. And he goes to me, he goes, dude, see where I'm at now? When I first started, I was just kind of like you, young and like looking into it. And like when he said he was young, he was like a year older than me. So I'm like, first of all, I'm like, dude, you're not that older than me. So second of all, like, calm down. But he's like, and now I have all this, and he's driving an Altima. And I was like, what? Like, first of all, so if you're a boss and you're trying to get, like, you know, your people under you, like, all gung-ho and all that, don't brag about how much you have if you're talking about an Altima and, like, a cheap suit. All right, bro. I'm like, cool, man. We'll work it. 3, like, weeks later, I quit. I was like, forget this job.
Hey, are we working for a pyramid scheme? That's terrible.
It was a recruitment company where, you know, you're trying to, like, place people that, you know, if they couldn't find a job on their own, they go through, like, a recruitment firm, and you get, like, a percentage of their salary or whatever, like a small percentage. Okay. But it was just, it was that type of company. I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I do not want to strive and work my butt off doing an Altima. I'm like, that's not my gig. So I just thought that was kind of funny. But I'll use an example. If you're a boss and you're trying to motivate your workers, don't motivate them by a Nissan Altima.
Don't drive an Altima.
Yeah. What about you guys? Anything?
I didn't really have any.
I have one.
Right. Think of.
I have one.
All right.
I have one. My boss once told me, you know, I'm very disappointed in you. And I said, Dad, that's not very nice.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that. Working for family, right?
Oh, you should never do it.
Don't do it.
No issues there, right, Mike? Not at all.
I fucking beg of you, if you're listening to this and you're like, you know, my uncle owns a business and maybe that would be a good backup just in case, don't fucking do it. It is the worst thing possible. It really is. If you're possibly going to take over a business one day, don't do it. Because you will never, never take over that business. As long as that other person is alive, they will never fully hand it to you. Never. So don't do it. Don't do
just
it.
Just look at Norman and Harry Osborn.
Yes, exactly. He'll even haunt you in the mirror. With his Willem Dafoe face.
I can say, just being friends with Mike and just seeing the certain stress levels that he had.
Oh.
Just listen to Mike on this one. Don't work for your family, man. Before I knew, like, the whole in and outs of what you were doing with the family business, when I saw people like, oh, this guy didn't want to go into this business and like help out. I'm like, why not? That'd be great. You know the people? No, this is why. You know, no. Mike had some good ideas why not to do
this. This is absolutely why. There's no winning, okay? There's no winning an argument. There's no, if you have a smart idea beyond rational, it won't get listened to. You have any valid points that you need to make, nah, they'll just be glossed over. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to put your actual footprint anywhere. You're not going to be able to be creative and do anything. I'm sorry. I'm bitter. This sounds terrible. But it's very true. It's just 100% true. There's you get those stress levels because you don't argue the same. You know, it's not like if you have a regular boss that's not, that you're not related to. There's these like little sub
Mike,
things
you think
that happen.
Trust your judgment after what you pulled your senior year of high school.
Precisely, there it is. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's like, hey, you know your kindergarten
the time you shit your pants. And yeah. You didn't know you were in diaper. You were in
you know that
yet?
You know that asshole that keeps bringing shit up that you did in first grade that you went to high school with, and you're like, wow, I can't wait to graduate high school so I never have to see this person again. Yeah, picture working for them. That's the exact same fucking thing. It's terrible. It's fucking terrible. So, yeah, don't do that. On the flip side of it, I'm sure you guys can attest to this because you're parents and I'm eventually going to be. Once you see your kid shit his pants, you can never really take him seriously ever again. So I'm sure on the flip side of it is you have somebody working for you that you're related to that you've seen shit their pants. You really can never take them seriously ever again. So
wait, does that also apply to not taking yourself seriously if you've shit your own pants?
Yes. Which I almost did at work the one time.
Everybody shit their pants at once. One point in the last.
First day really. Pants.
First day pants. That'd be great.
There's a tip. Always bring a second pair of khakis to work.
That's actually not a bad tip.
That is a good tip. Keep a change of clothes in your car.
Yeah. Because yeah, something happens.
Yeah, you never know if you spill fucking coffee in your lap. Then what?
Right.
You always wonder, like, have you guys seen those? Have you seen those cars? That's like, it's always like a Chevy Impala, but it has like the back seat is filled with like this like whole line of like a someone's wardrobe.
Like the back seat hanging the back seat like clothes pole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never understood that. Like, what's going on there?
They're either a salesperson, they're like driving from like, you know, call to call or whatever. But maybe that person like, you know, had some issues with going to the bathroom. It's like, oh, these are my work pants and these are my secondary work pants. But I don't know. So, yeah. I'll bring like at least another pair of clothes to change into because you never know.
Yeah.
You really don't.
On the subject of clothes, I would give this tip because you don't realize how important this is until you're in a position where you can't do this. Find a job where you can dress comfortably.
It's the best.
Yeah, you know, either you have uniforms, which sometimes are stupid, and or sometimes, you know,
sometimes they're great.
Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're terrible, and sometimes you have to wear a suit and tie. And if you're not a suit and tie guy, don't get a job that's a fucking suit and tie. I'm fortunate enough now I get to work in a job where I can pretty much wear whatever I want. And nice. and it's great because I never ever believe that whole thing about, well, you got to dress for success. Putting a tie around your neck, you might as well just put a noose. It's the same. It's terrible. It makes me claustrophobic just thinking about it. I can't stand it.
Mike, I have a job offer for you.
Yeah.
So you're going to work all day in a cubicle. You need to wear a suit and tie. And your job is to write cover letters all day for people.
Oh.
How much? What's your minimum salary requirement?
$125,000 a year.
What's your favorite color?
Green, because geniuses pick green, Greg. Forget it. So yeah, find something that, yeah, you can have a change of clothes of in the car, and at the same time, it's a change of clothes of something that you're comfortable with. Because you should be comfortable when you work, I think.
Nice.
I'm living it right now, because we just have like either a t-shirt or a polo shirt with our logo on it.
Yeah.
And then I wear shorts or jeans and sneakers, whatever. It's the greatest, because now I don't even have to worry about, like, what shirt am I going to wear? Like,
right.
Easy. No choices.
Yep.
What am I going to wear on my legs today? That's it. That's the only thing I have to decide.
Yep.
And most of the time, I could just be like, I could just smell whatever I wore yesterday. And if it's all right, I can just wear that again.
The smell test. Love it.
There's not just clean and dirty. There's many subtle levels.
Janine Melnitz.
I love having a uniform shirt. It's the greatest. And it's just a polo shirt or a t-shirt. Nothing. That's it. It's the greatest.
I don't mind.
You know what you're wearing every day. Everybody's wearing the same thing. And boom. And the polo shirt's barely even wrinkled. It's great.
I don't mind having a uniform shirt as long as it's not a fucking terrible one. I've had some terrible uniform shirts. I've had
like what?
I've had one that was, you know, part of a Canadian tuxedo, like just straight up denim, long sleeve, button down shirt. That was terrible. And it was when I worked at a toy store when I was in high school. Do you remember the toy store Noodle Cadoodle? Do you remember that toy store?
No, KB.
It was one of those toy stores that was like for like smart toys, you know, kind of like building stuff and science toys. And it was like toys for rich people.
If I worked there, I would commit suicide.
So yeah, there was that one, and there was also the one collared shirts, but they were definitely the same color as Best Buy uniform shirts.
Right.
And there would be those times where I actually had to go to Best Buy, and I must have gotten stopped over a dozen times asking if I worked there, and I said no, I don't work here. Fucking hate that.
I guess radio was the best for that because we literally wore whatever we wanted. There was zero dress code.
Oh yeah, I was always wanting a throwback and some Jordans. I loved it.
Yeah. Art got to literally wear his favorite things and show them off every day.
I remember you were asking me, like, what was I, like, are you wearing a, like, who was the Raiders that was wearing 34 at the time? Because I was, like, wearing, like, a Lamont Jordan jersey. I'm like, no, I'm wearing a Bo Jackson jersey. You're like, oh. And like, you said, like, right there, point blank, like, my respect for you just increased. I was like, sweet. What about dating coworkers? Have you guys ever dated a coworker?
Well, that's a piece of advice that Mark Perez, our friend Mark Perez, says on our Facebook. He says, don't shit where you eat, and that's exactly what this is about. I completely agree with him. I've hooked up with coworkers, but I don't really like to date them.
Yeah, you got to be careful. I mean, because that can certainly come back to... I'd say avoid it if you can, but I wouldn't say don't do it for sure.
If you're in one of those jobs where you can get in trouble if you don't disclose it, that's kind of rough too. You kind of have to look into that. You have to see if there's been a precedent set. I've been in plenty of jobs where people are married or they met on the job and then end up getting married and stuff like that.
On the job.
It can also be a on the job. What was that from?
Austin Powers.
That's right. It can also be a conflict of interest, you know, if mm-hmm. a couple people get, you know, are hooking up or dating or married or something. Even the married stuff kind of, you're like, ugh, of course they would side with her. It's a wife. Deal with that at home. Which, by the way, I don't know about you, but I would definitely not want to work with my wife. That'd be the worst.
If you have a job that you're at high school or college, yeah, maybe you can date coworkers, but... First job out of college, maybe not so much.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you said if you have a job working at a high school or college, yeah, you can start dating. You can date the students. You're fine. That's great. Don't worry about it.
Pull a Pamela Smart. That's a New Hampshire / Canadian joke for you all listeners out there.
Nice. I got that one. That's good.
Yeah. College. Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Schools
let's talk.
Are like notorious for hooking up.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Lots of cheating going on at schools.
Extracurricular activity. Hey,
mm-hmm.
Where's the soundbite? Come on.
Come on, wait.
Someone queue up hot for teacher.
I brought my pencil.
Two for Tuesday. Come on. All right, let's talk about bosses. What are, like, you know, there are certain types of bosses that we've all worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, Jay, name some of them that we need to, like, either watch out for. I think all bosses you need to watch out for, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. You don't want to, like, cross that, almost like in your dating, you don't want to cross that friend zone of bosses. So what are some of the types of bosses that you've worked for or that you've heard that, like, yeah, this person just got screwed because they became, like, friends or enemies with their bosses?
I don't know, but here's a question. Has anyone ever said these words? Wow, my boss is really smart. No wonder he's the boss. Has anyone ever uttered those words? Or is everyone's boss a complete incompetent idiot?
That's a good question.
That's a very great question.
A very good question.
Words that have never been spoken.
The grass is always kind of greener, right? Because... You always look at, especially in like hierarchies of companies and stuff, you always look at like higher ups or other bosses, other people that are technically bosses in the office. You look and you're like, wow, they're fucking cool. I would love to work for them. But then you talk to the people that actually work for them. I'm like, yeah, he's a dick. He fucking, you know, does whatever. But, like, he's cool to you because you don't report directly to him, you know? Or, you know what boss you have to always look out for, Art? Is the boss who is trying too hard to be your friend.
Yep.
That one you always got to look out for because that one... Because usually what happens is they try really hard to be your friend. And then when shit hits the fan for them, they turn around and try to be strict. And you're like, well, wait a minute. We were just hanging out a minute ago and now you're going to be a dick? Fucking no. Fuck you. Because that guy is not going to get any respect. That guy's not going to get any respect from his workers.
Very true.
Honestly, yeah, so. I think the best boss, honestly, is the one that says, you know... Do your job. You caught up? Cool. See you later. Like, the one that just lets you work. Like, doesn't...
Yes.
Doesn't interfere. You know, it gets out of his way and gets out of his own way and allows people to do what they're supposed to do.
Another thing you've never heard, just like what Jay said before, it's like, oh, man, I hate my boss. He never asks me what I've been doing. She never says, like, hey, what's going on? You know, you need to get this done.
Right.
You know, I want a boss that's more interactive with me. You never hear that.
Yeah, boss isn't on my ass enough.
Yeah.
Nobody ever says that.
Actually, I just thought of it. My last boss was, oh my God, it was exactly what I said. Like, oh shit, that dude fucking knows his shit. I get it now. Yeah, and he was younger than me too.
Wow.
That's how you know you're getting old, when your bosses are younger than you. Yeah, my last IT job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome, super awesome guy. Like, totally hang out. And yeah, knew his shit big time. Like, oh, like fucking computer genius guy.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that totally makes sense.
There's always that 3 month gut check where you're like, okay, I've been in this job for 3 months. Is this really the kind of the right place for me? You kind of understand, you got your swagger, you know what you're doing, you know what your job looks like, you know what kind of the dynamics of the office. A lot of it has to do with the people in the office. Like, you could be doing the same job 8 different places, but if the people in the office are a bunch of fucking morons or they're dicks or whatever, you're not going to want to work there. Office atmosphere is something that really doesn't get put on a lot of job descriptions. Like, honestly, I should say, you know, most of them are like, oh, we're a fast paced, fun work environment. Are you? Are you really? Guarantee you're not.
You have to say that. Probably.
Right.
Chances are.
If you have to hold a press conference to tell people you're not gay, you're gay.
That's a Padlin.
That's a Piazzin.
Here's a good tip, too. Wherever you're thinking about accepting a job to, talk to other employees first and get the real scoop.
Exactly.
I couldn't stress that enough.
And that goes for anything. I do that with everything. I do that when I buy a TV. I go, so why does this TV suck? You know, and try to find the negative shit and then outweigh that with the positive and be like, okay, this I could deal with that.
Let's say you apply for a job, you hand in your resume, but if there's a field where, like, you kind of have your hand in this and you have your hand in that, you know, especially for us in radio where we've done promotion, Mike, you know, and Jay, you too, have done promotion, but also done the radio side of certain things. If someone, like, you put in a job for a certain specific title and they're like, well, that one was filled, but we see you have this, why don't you come and do that job? If it's a job that you really don't care about or you're like, eh, maybe not, don't take it.
Yeah, don't take it.
Do not take it.
Don't settle.
It's just a waste of your time. Yeah, don't settle. Yeah. Because I've had that happen. I've done that. I'm like, two months in, I'm like, why the hell did I take this job? So there's a thing where it's like, I want to get into this company to make sure that, you know, just so I can get my foot in the door. Certain jobs, yes, maybe, but other jobs, you might want to think twice about that.
I would also say too, think twice about accepting an offer that's way less than what you're at, what you need just to get the job, because you're just going to resent it the whole fucking time.
Well, you did that, man. You took your own advice, right? With back in the day in the radio job, where you, like, there was a station that you kind of were like a job that you wanted to get, but the offer was way too low, and you just like, and that must have been tough, though, right?
Yeah, that was actually to work for Sirius. I interviewed to be the producer. Oh, actually, twice, a couple times it happened. Yeah, I turned down gigs. Yeah, one was to be the writer for Rover Show. And I would have to move to Chicago, and then I turned that down. And then same thing with SiriusXM. I was doing our show in Jersey and interviewed with them to be the producer for Ron and Fez.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't going to be enough money. And I'm like, oh, like I really want to do this, but it just fucking doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And you have to, yeah.
Just don't work.
If you have a number in mind and they're not going to reach it, right? But you really like the job, you really like everything, there is a time and place for, you know what, I'm not really, I'm sorry, it's not enough. Be honest about that. But also, too, be honest about this. Ask, all right, I want to let you know, this really isn't the price that I'm, the salary that I was expecting. How much of a guarantee can you give me, or how much of a possibility is it for advancement? Like what can happen, you know, and what are we, and how long are we talking here? Are we talking 3, 6 months, 9 months? I mean, I'm not looking to be at this price for very long.
Well said. Yeah. That time where you're like, when they give you the job offer, that's the time where you should step up.
Yeah.
And as much as you want to say like, yes, I'll take it, especially, you know, again, I don't really know like what the economy is for people coming out of college or people who are looking for a job.
Sucks.
But it's just, you got to watch out, because if you say yes, you could have been like, you know what, maybe I can barter back and forth, because if they really want you, if they believe in you, they're going to, and I think they also will respect that for you. They'll be like, well, wow, this person's.
Never accept the first offer.
Yeah.
Never.
Well never. Said, yeah.
Yep. Never. Always ask for more. That time is such a key negotiation, because to start you a few grand more, you know, that could be a year before you get back up to that. You know what I mean? And especially if it's like per hour salary, you know, you're like, the difference between $10 an hour and $12 an hour, you know, over the long run is a fucking lot.
Yeah.
You know, that shit adds up quick. That's an extra $2 an hour. That's an extra 20% every hour that you could be making if you just ask. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep.
You know,
yep.
And you add that shit up. And for them, for a business, $10, $12, whatever, you know, it may not be a big deal, but that shit adds up quick. And you never know, you know, you don't know if you're ever going to get a raise. Maybe you won't ever, you know, so get it while you can, you know, get every perk you can up front, and always also sign a deal. Like whatever deal you agree to, get it in writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get it in writing and make sure you have a copy and it's signed off by somebody.
Yeah.
Whatever you were promised, get that shit in writing.
You don't have a job until you're there on the first fucking day. Like,
yeah.
I've had jobs taken away from me before I even walk in the building. Oh, that job's no longer available. What?
Unless you both sign the, you know, covenant with blood.
Yeah, there you go.
Nothing. Let's kind of move on to one of the things I want to get to as well. Office etiquette. We kind of talked about emails. Just watch what you're doing with emails. Don't be Gladys in accounting, who was, you know, there during World War WWII with emails and CCing everybody, you know, your Heathcliff joke. We kind of touched upon emails, but bathroom. Mike, you put that up there. I love getting paid to drop deuces, man. I love going to the bathroom.
Oh, I'll take a shit anywhere.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? Sure, I'll pinch a loaf for that. But, you know, you put that up there, bathroom, you know, for office etiquette. What are certain things, man? You put, like, a towel up there? Do you
flush the fucking toilet. That's number one. Flush the goddamn toilet. You're not in a fucking middle school. What is this? You ever go into a fucking bathroom in a company and just see how fucking terrible it is? It's like, is somebody just shitting on the wall? What is happening in here?
Yeah, it's the second stall always.
Yeah. Act like it's your house, for Christ's sakes, because you're there. You're there a lot. Just flush the goddamn toilet, first of all. Second of all,
you don't have to. You don't have to be pride with what you just did.
Yeah,
just let it go.
Second of all, wash your fucking hands. Wash your goddamn hands every goddamn time, because
right, Poppy.
Because if you don't, you're gonna get sick. People in, you know, that come to work sick, get everybody sick immediately, especially in a small work environment. So wash your fucking hands at the very least. Oh, and don't be one of these fucking assholes that brings their goddamn cup of coffee in there with them. That's the grossest thing I've ever.
Ew, what? Really?
That is the grossest thing ever.
Ew.
People that bring their coffee or. Yes!
What?
And they just set it down on the fucking top of the. I'm like, are you joking right now? On the top of the urinal?
You
like,
take a sip,
come on,
you
guy. Or the ones that'll be like, no, you know what? I'm going to be smart. I'm going to put my cup right here on the sink and then go over to the urinal. Yeah, it's still in the bathroom. Dude, it's terrible.
What about brushing your teeth there?
Brushing your teeth at work? That's not bad. I don't mind it.
What? Yes, it is. That's ridiculous. Brush your teeth at home.
Yeah, but.
Or shaving.
That too. It's work. It's not home.
I've seen both happen at work with some guy.
Why?
Was shaving.
I've never seen shaving.
That person was homeless, Arthur.
Getting hungry for your turkey dinner?
When I was at the Big Eight.
I've seen people brush their teeth like in the afternoon, like later in the day when they're like after lunch or something.
Where do they keep their toothbrush and toothpaste?
In a little baggie.
Where? In their desk?
Their desk, yeah.
So they just pick up their toothbrush bag, like their toiletry bag to go to the bathroom?
No, just the toothbrush. I don't know these people, Jay, all right?
That's
Mike,
absurd.
Come on, tell me, Mike.
No, hasn't been me. I've never done that.
That's crazy.
But I have seen other people do it. I have seen other people do that.
All right.
Fucking bananas.
It still is kind of gross, though. Doing anything in the bathroom other than going to the bathroom in there is fucking kind of gross.
Speaking of etiquette, here's another thing. When I was working at, like, my first job right out of college was working at Fidelity. I was helping, like, people with their, health and welfare benefits. There was one guy that would clip his fingernails.
Oh.
And we all, like, had these headsets that had, like, these little clips. And so one of the people that was right next to me, she was like, dude, Sean is clipping his fingernails again.
I'm That's
like,
all right. gross.
But I would, like, take the clip and I'm like, I'd make that clipping noise. And she's like, he's doing it. I'm like, no, I'm just messing around with you. I'm making the clip. She goes, oh. But, like, there was a guy that would, like, clip his fingernails, like, on the dot, like, at 7:30. Because I think I was working, like, the 11:30 in the morning to, like, 8 o'clock shift or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, at 7 o'clock at night, the clippers would come out and he'd start clipping his fingernails.
Oof.
It's disgusting. And those things fly all over the place.
Yeah.
You could get like 2-3 cubicles on a good fingernail.
Yeah.
Probably 5 on a toenail. Big toe.
Reggie's like takes off his shoe and starts whipping out his feet like, hey, you guys are back. I'm good.
Grossest.
File these fuckers down.
I do actually have a nail clipper in my car. I'll do that every now and again. But like, I'll even still hide it in the car. Like, if I'm at a light, you know, I'm hiding that shit. So that's just weird.
I floss my teeth when I drive. I do.
Like the real ones or like those cool little like...
No, those cool... Ones? Yeah, those cool little hook ones, the picks and stuff. I have a bag of those in my car and I do that...
No one's getting the water pick!
I do that to and from work. It's great. I do it twice a day.
Nice. It'd be funny if you had a water pick in your car.
This is that little suction thing.
What's up, officer? What?
I'm walking really dry right now.
You also put meals. Don't bring salmon to work. Don't put that in the microwave.
Don't bring fish.
Put any type of fish in there.
Don't bring fish. Don't bring Indian food. Don't bring
people's food and be like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was the same thing.
Yeah.
No.
Don't bring anything.
Not Todd, Felicia. All right. Your name is not Todd.
Yeah.
Don't take his food.
But at the same time, if you're going to be if you can be a dick with that shit. If you bring a giant bottle of salad dressing, don't put your name on it. Because
or like a gallon of milk, right, Jay?
Yeah, chain that shit up.
don't be a dick. Don't be a dick about that kind of shit. Because sometimes there's stuff in there that you're like, man, I could really use some hot sauce. Oh, here's a gallon of hot sauce with somebody's name on it. Guess I can't use a dab.
Jeff.
My bad, fucking Jeff. That guy sucks.
Art's referring, by the way, for the listeners to the point where I did literally chain my milk to the refrigerator door.
Yes.
At the radio station.
The video is still up. Check it on YouTube.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. How do you look that up?
Hold on. I think it's like the J... I mean, well, hold on. We can edit this out, but it said the J Wolf Show. I mean, do you want your last name on here or no?
Yeah, okay. If it's fucking on YouTube, Jesus.
Yeah, so yeah, check out the Jay Wolf Show on YouTube and you'll see I was taping you locking your mouth there.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff on here still.
Yeah.
Fucking high school marching band walking through.
Milk video. Yeah, but that's such a dick move to just literally eat someone's lunch that they brought with their name on it.
You put Tretch's Naughty by Nature's necklace around the... Yes, go to YouTube, the user pack for Mac. That's me, buddy. That's me. Trying to be Tupac Machiavelli. Go there and you can check it out. Oh, love it. Okay, now we're going to end this show with quitting and being fired. Any good stories about quitting or being fired, or what's the etiquette on those things?
Us burning the Spider-Man costume has 23,000 views. What on earth?
It does.
I'm going to guess we got a bump after like these two new reboots came out. 23,000. I could have made millions off of that already. Why did I like monetize this?
Wait, what?
A deer. 5,000 views.
Dude, I got 2,000 hits from the Marshmallow Fun Company. And like the guy that did the hand carved guitars, 6,000.
You getting belted by a pitching machine got 8,000 views.
That's really?
A good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
The marching band in the running around the office got like
three. Me getting belted by a boxer, 3,000 views. Our photo session was hilarious. We only got 500 views.
That was my favorite. I love that. That was my favorite.
We've gone off on such a tangent.
I know. I'm sorry. What are we talking about?
Don't make YouTube videos with coworkers. That's number two. Our last thing is quitting and being fired. You guys have any good stories about quitting or fire? You know, getting fired or anything like that? Or what's the protocol for that? What's the poser's guide to being fired?
Being fired, revenge usually is good. I got fired. Well, I got let go from Samsung when I was working for Samsung. And then like 2 months later, the branch that I was working for just went out of business. I just felt that was a little revenge. That felt good. I guess quitting 2 weeks notice is always good. Unless you're like, fuck it. Unless you hate it. I've done that a couple of times where I'm like, you know, this job sucks. Forget it. I'm leaving tomorrow. See ya.
All right. Jay?
I don't know. I've never really gotten fired from any jobs. Knock on wood.
Yeah, neither have I. Quit, yes, but I think like Mike said, the 2 week notice is always a good thing. I think both companies would respect that with a new job you're going to and the job you're leaving. It's like, yep, I'll give you the 2 week notice. We'll do the transition. And we'll kind of go from there. Don't burn any bridges because you never know if you're ever going to come back. I actually came back to our radio station after I went to work in New York, and I came back. So there's my advice. Don't burn any bridges because you never know if you're going to come back.
I think the best piece of advice we can give for the job market out there comes from Matt Pona on our Facebook, and he says, fuck bitches, get money.
Yes.
It's the best piece of advice.
Junior Mafia-ish right there.
Yep.
Mitchell, don't fucking suck at your job. That's a good one. My sister apparently held on to some sort of weird piece of wisdom I gave her when she was going into junior high. Which applies to work, too. Don't let people borrow your pens. You won't get them back.
That is correct.
It's hilarious,
yes,
that she held on to that. I don't remember saying that, but definitely makes sense.
That was right after you were in the frame of The Cosby Show.
Yeah, so that was when I was famous, because people were always trying to get pens to get my autograph. I'd like that to be on my gravestone, also. Don't let people borrow your pens. You won't get them back.
It's a good thing to have on your tombstone.
There's a video of you racing our like 50-year-old news guy on a foot race. Artie Scorsese's half-ass trip giveaway. I don't remember that at all.
The best video I don't think is up there is when I had a remote control car and he was doing the news.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
But I don't think it's up there. Yeah. So yeah, live our glory days and just check out YouTube and check out WNNJ. And you'll have some fun like that.
The guy who came after me, his best video only has 419 views. It's because it's just him doing his show in a diner. That's a good video right there.
Is there a niner in there? All right, so there you have it, the poser's guide to the working world. Hopefully you can use some of our good advice or experience to get you a job or not get you a job, whatever you may be. But Mike's working with the Giants. Jay's working with beer, so 2 out of 3, we're doing our thing. So make sure you listen to us. We appreciate you guys listening, and that's it. And you guys have any more advice, or are we done?
No, we're good, man. Fuck bitches, okay. Get money.
Yes.
Do your fucking job and do it well. Seriously.
Yes, sir.
That's how you succeed. Keep your head down, do your fucking job.
Make that paper.
Enough said. Word. So for Jay,
get that money.
For Mike,
the up.
See ya.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures. So much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name. I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
You think they had it? Think someone had it and they were like, we want that. I got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Unless they got, they were going way far back.
Maybe they got, they saw that.
Maybe they got it. Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back. As we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.